I am, shall we say, a tad more invested in the tournament. They're in a difficult conference, and Dayton is no pushover. Baby, check this out. I've got something to say. Man, it's so loud in here. When they stop the drum machine, and I can think again, I remember what it was. Welcome to Colin's Screaming Argonauts. We're just two guys talking to anyone about everything. I'm Max.
I am the Penguin.
And today, we're joined once again by the fabulous Manhattan Man. Today is Monday, March 16th, 2009. And we're brought to you by 8 Beer Sampler Productions for internet consumption. And we're about to talk about college basketball here on the big show.
March Madness. Woo-hoo!
All right, so we're going to just jump right into it. We're talking about bracketology.
Right. Well, we could start in a lot of different places.
Well,
I'd love to hear Manhattan Man's thoughts about the fact that the Big East got three teams as number one picks. I had some problems with Connecticut getting one of those bids, if only because of the fact that they went 4-3 the last 2 weeks of the season. Didn't win the Big East tourney, and they've got an injured player who's not going to their starting point guard or whatever is going to miss the whole tournament. So, how they could still give them a number one, I don't understand.
I have absolutely no knowledge about college basketball, so I need to say for the record right now that I have Connecticut winning the whole thing.
The funny thing is, you're probably in a better place than a lot of people who study and take time and spend a lot of money like me.
Trying to figure this stuff out.
Just going on your gut.
You know what? I listen to a little Sports Center every morning. I watch PTI, and every year I do this. I pick a bracket, and I'm usually above the middle in my results. I have an uncanny knack of doing pretty good. I saw Connecticut one game. They've got a monster center, do they not?
Yes, they do.
So I'm a believer in having a monster center.
Well, up until about 3 weeks ago, Connecticut looked like it was going to be. I mean, people were talking about them as the NCAA champ. I mean, it was, but
right.
Then their player got hurt and it changed everything.
Well, I
actually think that Memphis got ripped off. I thought Memphis should have been the number one in that bracket, and I'm picking Memphis to go all the way.
That's scary to me because the first bracket that I filled out today, one of my minor brackets has Memphis winning the whole thing. So
right.
There you have it.
Yeah,
the same
like
people cross off the Memphis shoot. Tigers.
Well, a lot of times a team that's out in front has a little backsliding issue, and then they jump out in front again. So I'll stick with my Connecticut and my giant 8'12" guy.
The team to beat is the man you're talking about. The nice thing about playing UConn, Max, is that you get like an extra pick in there. If Washington does anything, you can just say, "Hey, I said go Huskies."
Right. I didn't understand any of that, but I'm with you.
And you get the 2-for-1 there.
Because I ended up my final four are two number ones and two number twos. You know, and usually it's like there's usually like a 4 or a 5 or a 6 in there somewhere. But I just can't see. I think Louisville goes all the way to the semis. I think Pittsburgh goes all the way to the semis. I think both of those brackets are almost easy.
Let me speak a little bit about Duke here.
I was just looking at that. I knew you were going to say a little something about Duke.
I live near Binghamton, for all of the listeners who aren't aware of this. And Binghamton, in the last 7 or so years, became Division I. And for the first time ever, Binghamton has made the tournament. And not only did we make the tournament, or they make the tournament, but we are somewhere between the 56th best and 60th best team in the country. We're not the worst team in the tournament. So everybody where I work is pretty excited about Binghamton being in the tournament. And I did a little informal survey today where I was running around all over the place. And I said, hey, how about Binghamton in the tournament? And everybody said, too bad they got Duke. We're going to get our asses kicked. not a single person locally has any hope for the Binghamton team at all.
Well, you know, it's funny. If Binghamton had gotten any one of several other clubs, I think they could have pulled a surprise and gone somewhere. But Krzyzewski is going to have the Duke team ready. And you know, that first round match is just like...
That's a mercy killing right there. Binghamton has no one in the middle.
Part of the reason that Krzyzewski will have the team ready, as TFABP says, is because the ACC is undervalued in this tournament because of all the hype around the Big East. Duke ended up beating a Florida team that, not University of Florida, Southern Florida team that...
Florida East on the coast by the Florida... Cuba.
I mean, that's what the ACC has come to this year, that the tournament went in such a way that Duke kind of backed and I seem to remember somebody saying somewhere along the line, Duke is Duke. You know, it's still Duke.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that.
So they've got to beat Villanova in Pittsburgh, and they're in the Final
Pitt
Four.
Pitt was, of the teams that carried the number one banner this year, I believe that Pitt held it the longest, and they are an extremely tough physical team, and they play with speed as well.
Yeah, they the only thing that's going to stop Pittsburgh, I think, is if they get a group of referees who call a very, very tight game, because they just beat up their opponents. I mean, they just beat them to a pulp.
You saw the beat take the lean over the shoulder in the Pitt game. But keep in mind that West Virginia beat Pitt. Pitt is a beatable team, as is, I think, any team in this tournament. I really do. There is no, to me, standout number one team that you're going to find winning the whole thing on 70% of people's brackets. It's just not like that this year.
So how do you feel about Louisville?
What I was going to say is Rick Pitino was interviewed on WFAN today, and he said, which I thought was real interesting, he said that normally in this tournament, he says that he can figure on 6 or 8 teams that can win it and 6 or 8 teams that should be in it. He said this year there's 12, 13, 14 teams that could win this tournament without any trouble at all. And he whipped off about 6 or 8 names. And everyone, you know, every time he said one, he said, yeah, they could win this. They, you know, they had this or that going for it. I mean, when you think about it, you know, any of the number ones or number twos could easily win this tournament, and you would not be surprised. You know, if Memphis wins, no one's going to be shocked. Oh, how could that have happened? If Oklahoma wins, no one's going to say, oh, that's a real, real shock.
You should not be surprised if a good dozen teams that we could name right now win this tournament. It's true.
Yeah. The only in the top 8 of all the ones and twos, the only one that would really surprise me would be Duke.
The whole thing?
Because I just don't think they're that good a team right now. But that's the only one of those 8. And if you want to go 3 deep and go top 3, you know, I still think you're talking about, you know, you're talking about teams like Missouri who could definitely win this tournament. That wouldn't surprise anybody, I don't think.
But the problem I have, if you're going to go to number three, the problem I have is Boeheim. And
well, I was just going to say Syracuse because they never win the big game. Except for
they won it with Carmelo a couple years. I think Boeheim has two national championships. But the problem that I have is just because Syracuse took all night long to get past UConn, they buzzed themselves into a three seed, and I just don't. I think it's highly overseeded, and I don't think that team really deserves it. I don't. And I'll go back to Max's point about a true big man. I don't think that Syracuse has it this year.
Do you realize that the last time Syracuse won was the year before Research Girl went to Syracuse?
Now she's gone. So
right, they still haven't won. Another. Yeah, Carmelo year was the year before she went there.
Wow. And I think that's the only time they won. They got to the finals with Indiana one year with Derek Coleman, and then
there's another blast in the past, Derek Coleman, huh?
So yeah, everybody's got their office pool. Some of them are even free. All right.
Right.
I am, shall we say, a tad more invested in the tournament.
That's a good way of putting that.
Tomorrow night, and this is just brilliant, whoever the hell figured this out, why don't we have the draft on St. Patrick's Day night in a bar? that was brilliant. Every team in this tournament, well, 64 teams in this tournament will go for X amount of dollars among gentlemen of the gambling pursuit. And we will get to the point where North Carolina, UConn, those teams will each go for upwards of $1,500,
$1,700. Wow. That's a lot of money.
It is. It is. And
so you could buy, like, Binghamton for, like, $1.50?
Well, Stephen F. Austin will probably go for $40. Maybe $60. Binghamton probably $30, $40. And you need
one. And you're
one,
participating in this?
You need one of those teams to hit. You need one $100 team to hit. And then carry that win forward. Because, as you know, by midnight Friday this week, 32 teams are gone.
And that's a lot
of money if you're talking 20, 40, 60, right. 80 times 32 teams. Because
so how does this work? How many people are drafting?
Yeah, you buy a team. There are consortiums. There won't be more than 12. There will not be more than 12 official entries. But the ninth entry could be a guy. More than usual, they are, like my situation, 3, 4, 5 guys from work. That's correct.
You're going to be a contributing member, huh?
And do you have a team, a specific team that your group is focusing on?
The problem is money talks. So for my money, I am screaming West Virginia. And we'll see what happens. I would like them. I would like them a lot because I think that at their seed, here's the thing.
That's a low seed for a really good team.
You can spin this a couple of different ways. The Mountaineers finished 7th in their league. Okay?
They barely kept their families fed.
and Bob Huggins wears the same clothes all week long. And, you know, all kinds of things. But they played an extremely difficult schedule in an extremely difficult league all year long. They were the only team in the league that had to play UConn and Pitt twice. The way it worked out is there's an unequal distribution of games. They were the only team that had to play those two teams twice, and they fared well against them, and of course had to win against Pitt in the tournament. They're a six. They're in a difficult conference, and Dayton is no pushover. And then, if they're lucky, they get Kansas, who's clearly no pushover either. But I think that they're a team that's in that 6, 7, 8 range of seeds that could go in this draft lottery for maybe $400. And if they go that cheaply, we're going to do well. Because I think they're going to go very deep.
So you make money back on each win? Is that
essentially? The percentages are split down to minutia for first-round win, second-round win, etc. And you rally. Now, those numbers morph because teams that cost more money will die. And that money is now back in the pool. So a 15 beating a 2 is huge, right? Because of the money that gets thrown back in, if that bracket's number sold for number 2 money. But the problem is that you can't say that just because Syracuse is at 3, right, they're going to sell for the amount of money that the bracket's 3 seeds will go for. Here's a perfect example. There are two teams in the tournament who are number 9 seeds. One is Siena, the MAC League champion, and the other is Tennessee, who was for a number of months around Christmas time and also ran in the SEC. They're both 9 seeds. They're not going to cost the same money. So It's going to be interesting to see what happens, and it's a fun way to bite your knuckles to the quick.
Well, it's a different way to approach this, which is pretty cool. Hey, listen, there's almost always a 5-12 upset, and I don't see one this year. Have you looked at them? Do you see one? Utah, Arizona is a 5-12. Florida State, Wisconsin is a 5-12. Illinois, West Kentucky is a 5-12. And Purdue, Northern Iowa is a 5-12. Do you see an upset in any of those guys, in any of those games?
Florida State kind of sucks these days. Wisconsin got a shot?
I don't.
Oh, wait, that's Florida that
that's
sucks.
Florida,
right?
Yeah. I don't think so. I mean, I was tempted to say maybe Iowa, Northern Iowa, could beat Purdue, but Purdue,
yeah, I don't think the Utes are going to win that game.
Arizona, right? Lou Henson? There's your 5-12. Of course, I picked the Utes, but
it's a 9-loss team in the what?
I'm like you. I try to pick a 5-12.
I don't remember. They had a bad loss in there. They had, what the hell, they had Mormon Day Country School. I don't know what the hell they lost to. It was a bad loss in there for Utah. Not to say that good
clubs running Mormons
don't have a bad loss throughout the year, but I think Arizona can win that game. That's where I would go.
So that would be your pick for one, if there is going to be one. Yeah, in my bracket, I didn't pick any of those four as an upset. And that worries me because usually one of them sticks out like a sore thumb.
I heard an interesting theory as to the reason why that happens. And I guess there's two things involved. Number one, when they sit down in the room, my understanding is the selection committee figures out the top 16 first. They basically finish the 1 through 4 seeds in 4 brackets first, and then they go from the bottom, because this is kind of throwing a bone at the mid-majors and the Binghamton's and the Stephen F. Austin's and saying, we won our league, so we got to be treated with some respect. And this is why you see somebody like Siena getting as high as a 9. But the problem is that you're stuck with middles. And when you look at 5, you're below that cream of the crop, and that 12 is above the crap. So that's why the 5-12s kind of often flip. And I guess that kind of makes sense.
Yeah, no, it does. I could see that as an argument. Manhattan Man, who are your final four?
the guys on morning and on the radio on ESPN, Mike Golic and Mike Greenberg. That Greenberg harasses Golic because he calls it the sheet of integrity. This one, I swear, I'm not changing in it. And my sheets are definitely, they don't have integrity. I think Louisville's really tough. I think Pitt's really tough. I don't like North Carolina as much, so I'm taking Oklahoma out of the South. And unfortunately, I have to take Memphis to beat UConn there.
Wow. So you and I match our final fours on our sheets of integrity. I just have one pool. I'm not one of those guys that, you know, does 13 different ones. So I just got one, and that's my those are my picks.
Very good. We haven't even started talking about the women yet. I love Marist in the first round, an upset there, but Max is rolling his eyes. There you go.
So, Max, what are your final four? Can we get that?
Louisville, Duke, Connecticut, and North Carolina.
Take it, Duke.
1-1, 1-2. I went out on a limb. That's just my style.
Yeah, well, that's the best part about this stuff is you can do stuff like
that. I have a question. Does American University have a shot? The 2-7 lost teams, that would be such an overlay. How many points are they getting?
I don't know. I
don't
know
like
is.
Nova. I really don't.
I don't think so. I don't think they have a shot. I think Villanova makes it to that second game.
We are going to have to take a look at some numbers carefully tomorrow morning. And I'm not talking about the Standard & Poor's.
Yeah. No. Not at this time of the year, you're not.
It's a different kind of gambling.
It's fun. Someone was talking today on the radio, and they were saying how they think that this is the absolute best time of the year because you have baseball starting, and you have the Final Four, the whole March Madness thing. I mean, you just have so many good things going on at one time. You know, the hockey's gearing up, right? In a couple of weeks, playoffs are going to start.
The thing. Every hockey game is starting to count now, seriously. Right. Unless you're the Islanders. I'm sorry.
Sorry about that.
Hey, you can say whatever you want about the Islanders. I've already made my prediction for the 2012-2011 Stanley Cup Championship.
That's when they'll be back?
It's when they're going to win it.
Wow. But unfortunately, they'll be playing in Kansas City at the time, right?
Charles Wong has the patience of Job.
The one thing...
Well, didn't the owner threaten? Is his name Wong or something?
Charles Wong.
Yeah, didn't he threaten that if they don't get that lighthouse project approval from Hempstead, he's going?
I wouldn't characterize it as a threat.
Okay.
He is going to visit Kansas City on his next business
with his
trip.
Bags packed.
When you step out on the concourse in the Nassau Coliseum, there's big signs for Kansas City barbecue ribs right now. That's the problem.
they're gonna do something for him. I don't know. I'd say they'd be crazy if they don't, but. Look at the World Trade Center. They can't get anything done down there. You know,
what are you talking
get out
about?
Of the way of somebody with a plan.
What
build
are you
the building.
Talking about?
they've been trying to get a new building for the Nassau, to replace the Nassau Coliseum, for years. The Lighthouse Project is supposed to pull it up by its bootstraps. They can't. New York City and Long Island are so
You be careful.
with political posturing that they can't get anything done.
Do you know how long it took to build that 17-story piece of shit next to your library in Binghamton? Are you kidding me? You want to tell me about... Oh, my... Oh, All right, okay.
Come on. We should have another building where the World Trade Center stood by now. This is held up by people concerned with money. It's all bullshit. You can build a building in a year and a half. How long did it take them to build the new Shea? Shitty bank. Shitty stadium, whatever. How long did it take them to build the new Yankee Stadium? If you want to build it, you can build it. Too many people.
But Hempstead is just really putting up a real stink about it, though. They just don't want to.
Yeah, because they need a piece of shit, old, rundown building? What is their problem?
I don't know. I don't know what their problem is. It really is a toilet.
Really interesting, though. Someday, go through the list of New York Islanders' top draft picks, say, first 2-3 rounds, and look at where they are and how many of them have been really great draft picks, like Chara and Roberto Luongo and Brian McCabe and Brian Berard and Wade Redden and J.P. Dumont and on and on and on, that they've traded away. It's been a brutal franchise, but they've turned it around, and all they need is a new building. And wouldn't a new building...
Turned it around. They have 12 wins.
Well, they lost their starting goaltender, their 15-year goaltender, for the entire season.
Who's idea was that?
They've got 8 guys on the disabled list the entire season. It just gives them a chance to bring up some young talent, which they've got a lot of. They have 5 draft picks in the first 2 rounds, and they're loaded with young kids. They've got a new coach who teaches an aggressive style. They're scoring a lot. They're playing a dynamic game. They've got 2 guys who are going to be backup goaltenders who are playing great. There's a lot of things moving in the right direction for the New York Islanders. And when DiPietro comes back and they get their 5 more new young draft picks, they're just going to be great.
I want to apologize to the CSA listenership for hijacking the podcast. It's probably my fault.
To talk about Islander hockey. Well, that's all right. Our time is up anyway, so we'll let Max have his little rant because he needs to. I mean, you know, he's an Islander fan, and it's that's got
to
be tough.
Say what you will. Talk to me in 2012.
Do you already have the foil hat, you know, in the shape of the cup? Is he, with the fisherman jersey? You remember those? They were brutal.
Yes,
oh, boy.
The Rangers fans called them fish sticks. In truth, the logo did look like the Gorton's fisherman.
On that note, fisherman.
Hey, listen, depending on how my pick's doing, the money and everything, I may be doing the next podcast on Dial Up. But I love you guys, and, you know, wish me luck.
Well, listen, don't forget to take your picks in the CSA bracketology. All right. And then so we can get
all right,
those.
Well, that's it. Good night. Good luck. Ancestry, which stood on rocky shores and kept the beaches shipwreck free. Though I respect that a lot, I'd be fired if that were my job. After killing Jason off and countless screaming